Hello, am I on? There we go. We will get started here in a minute, but I have a couple ladies, right? Do I have a couple ladies, Tammy, Cindy? Are you guys out there? You're ignoring me. Tammy, Cindy. Don't ignore me. I have a mic. Don't ignore me. So before we get started, I talked a little bit about the teaser you had in your bulletin last week about our Valentine's banquet. And I know that typically we put it on the back information booth and you can sign up and it'll still be there. But I figure this morning we'll do something a little different and we'll kind of like put a little bit of pressure on you. And so if you even have an idea about wanting to come to our Valentine's banquet on the 20th of next month, Cindy or whoever, there's going to be a couple of clipboards running around. I haven't signed up yet, so they're going to bring it to me so I can sign up. And just real quick, we'll take a couple minutes to do this, beginning of the service. So if you even have an idea of, so we can get a count because we're having this catered to a place that has really good food. I've tested and sampled some of it. So if you even have an idea you would like to come, please put your name down so we can kind of get your account. So we're going to take a couple minutes to do that. So anyway, I will sign this. Shush. So if you have an idea, it doesn't have to be couples. If you're a single person and you want to come, please put your name on the deal. So we'll go from there. So let's take a couple minutes to do that.
Can you hear me? Ooh. I don't like this. Okay. All right, so Saturday's the banquet. I'm supposed to tell you who's catering it. Big J's Barbecue, and they make really good food. So it's going to have brisket, garlic mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, green beans, rolls, cheesecake, and chocolate-dipped strawberries made by your women's ministry group. We're asking for donations to help defray costs, payable at the door. There will be a trivia game with prizes. The newlywed game will be back this year. We need some brave souls to sign up to be part of the newlywed game who were not here last year or who did not participate last year in the newlywed game. Yes, you will be asked personal questions, so find out information about your significant spouse because you don't want to come in third place.
So what does newlywed look like? Do you have to be? What's the time frame?
We're looking for someone who's been married a long time. So last year, I'm not remembering who we had last year. But Lisa and Larry, we had a middle-aged couple. Not middle-aged, but they had been married. Well, they were the newlyweds. So the ones who had been married, like 20 years or 25 years. Teresa and Carrie, and then we had someone that had been married a long time. So it might have been Larry and Lisa. Anyway, we learned stuff about them, and it was fun. And so, please sign up. We're limited to 40 people. If you sign up and you can't make it, please call the church office and tell them you can't make it so we have room for someone else that wants to do it. The dinner starts at 6. Doors open at 5:30. If you have any questions, see Tammy, or you can talk to me. Okay. And I have a second announcement. This Saturday, January the 30th at 10 a.m., the ladies are going to have their sewing day. Our women's group has taken on the job of sewing pillowcases for my house and baby quilts for HeartReach. So if you would like to come at 10 and help with that, we'd love to have help. Everything's provided. Just bring yourself. And if you have a sewing machine that's portable, bring that too. And we're going to have yummy food that's all provided, too. Any questions, you can call me or ask me later, okay? Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, Tammy, I guess.
Yes, we would love donations at the door. However, they are not required. And if that would keep you from coming, we want you to come.
All right.
Just proceed.
Leave me alone. I know.
No commentary.
You know me too well.
There you go.
All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that we can just come here this morning Father, we just thank you that everyone got here safe. We just continue to pray those that are out there just driving, just in general today, Father, you just keep them safe. And Father, we just look forward to what you're going to be doing here in this place in the next little while. Father, just it's so awesome to come together and just worship and hang out with other brothers and sisters. And we just pray that we would just come together and just love on each other in this place, and we would just hear your heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
We don't have a drummer this morning. Ooh, that's hot. We don't have a drummer this morning, so we need your help.
Taken away, my pain is healed in his name, I believe. shout my praise, my allegiance and devotion, my heart's desire and all emotion. Go to serve the man who died upon that tree. Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise and all my hope and faith. To only a King of all kings do I bow.
Thank you.
clap the mics. So I needed your help. Thank you.
He became sin, who knew no sin, and we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself, carried the cross. Love so Messiah, Lord of
just thank you that you are our Messiah, that you came, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Amen. God with us. God, give us hearts that would respond in obedience, in praise, in honor, in glory for who you are, for all that you have done. You lead us from victory to victory, from glory to glory, and we thank you so much. We thank you for your power, for your presence, for your victory that we stand in as your children. God, thank you so much for the invitation. Thank you for the provision. Thank you that you have gone before us and you have made a way. Thank you, God, for who you are, for all that you have done. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right. Good job. Oh, that's good. That's good. Children are dismissed for children's church. Wow. That's awesome. I don't know who's back there today, but she got a crowd. That's awesome. Good, good. All right. Y'all have a good week? That was really committed. I like that. Well, I every once in a while I lose track of where I left off in my notes, and last week was one of those weeks, so I had to go back and kind of try to go back and watch some of that stuff, and so I picked up a couple different things. One of the things was like, wow, I felt pretty wound up last week, and I was. So it was good. It's like, man, I ran way over last week. I didn't hear any complaints, but I really try to honor people's time, and that's our time frame, but I haven't seemed to have been doing a very good job of that lately, so I will do my best, but at the same time, I'll let Father do whatever he wants to, amen?
Amen.
All right. So hopefully you were challenged by that. I was challenged by that just by going back and watching. It sounds kind of weird. You're being challenged by yourself, but that to me is the indication of the Holy Spirit moving and speaking, and it has nothing to do with who this person is up here speaking in the moment. And I really appreciate that, and I appreciate what Father does, and all those kinds of things. But it's been an interesting week. You know, the cool things that are going on in our own personal lives and the life of this church, and then still sitting in meetings. I had to sit in a meeting this last week where part of my other role and responsibility is I'm the chairman of our credentialing board for our association, and we had to sit with this other church that we're part of, and begin the process of closing them because they are dying. They're dead. That's never a good thing. And it was as good as me as it possibly could be. You know, there's still people don't understand why things have to happen. It seems, why would you close a church? But when it's dead and it no longer has its power, it's time to shut it down. And so that also gave me an idea, not an idea, but like really brought home to light. I mean, I don't believe in any way, shape, or form that we are even beginning to die here. I mean, some people could look around and see the few people that we have compared to some other churches in the valley. You guys are dead. There's only like 50, 60 people in your room, and you don't have 800 people or 1,000 people. Numbers don't indicate life, right? And we can be a small church and dying, obviously, right? We can do that too. But I don't believe that's where we are. But I believe that we need to, that. For me personally, as your pastor, as a shepherd here, as the one that serves all of you, making sure that we are indeed continuing to grow and still have life, and we're not dying off because we're continuing to do things that we've always done. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes those things to be killed, and if they're a good thing. So it was just a really good reminder, and over the last couple weeks, I've been reminded of a lot of different things. Like one of the simple things is just like housekeeping things. It's like, can I put my hands on our deed? And I talked to a couple older elders that have been here for a lot longer than me. And so we found one of them, Tammy, by the way. I need the other one. You gave me the deed for that property. I need the deed for this property, too. But anyway, I'll take care of that too at Tuesday. But anyway, the problem was with the thing, and again, it's simple. It's like, what does that have to do with the message? But it's a simple thing of doing, making sure we're doing all things we need to do. Because that was one of the things with this church that we're closing down. Their deed was written in an old way, and when they were told for a couple, last couple, two, three, however many years, to change their deed, and because they did not, the verbiage of it made it be something that they were not expecting. So when the things get sold, they have no recourse. None of the resources come back to them. it goes to different places. But they were told what to do, and they didn't do it. So again, all that to be said is like, man, where are we? Are we moving? That's just practical nuts and bolts thing. But where are we, more importantly, where are we, like I talked about last week, where are we with the people that are coming in here? Are they being ministered to? Are they being challenged? Are they being loved on? Are they being cared for in every which way? Because there's a lot of the big churches out in the valley, and I'm not criticizing them at all, but you can have a big monster church and walk in and nobody talks to you. Nobody cares about you. You're just a number to pad their numbers, right? Maybe that's an observation of big churches. I'm not saying they're all in that place, but I'm just saying, are we ministering? Are we in this place of loving on and caring for the people that we are called to minister and love on? And I, if you were here last week, you heard what I kind of thought about it just a little bit. And if you didn't, you can go back and on our website you can go back and watch it and listen to it. And so there you go. But it's not just up here. I had a conversation with my mom and dad last week. They had to have their church where they go again is not doing well. And in their church, it's not so. It's the preacher that's not doing well. And that's why I constantly, you guys probably tired of me talking about, but that's why I constantly put out there, and you don't know them all by name, but I have no less than probably at least a half a dozen men and women that I'm highly accountable to. And I've asked them to be, and some days I don't like that because they hold me accountable. But if I get to a point where I'm not going to listen to my elder board, I'm not going to listen to those people outside the elder board that I have asked them to hold me accountable, if I haven't put that place and not listening to them, it's time to remove me. It's time to get me out because I am now doing damage. And that's why it's so important that we, and that's not just for me, that's for all of us to keep this place of transparency and where are we? And I was talking to someone even before service started, where are we with the simple thing of confession? We don't like to confess one to another, but does not the word tell us to do that? What does it say? Confess your sins one to another, so what? You may be healed. Right? And we won't use that particular verse this morning, but that just really hit me this week as we talk about confession. Our confession is what, you know, when we confess our sins to each other, more importantly, when we confess that we are a sinner to Jesus Christ and we become one of his children, that's what it's all about. So we are in 1 John chapter 4. I know, a long introduction. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Seems like a simple statement. And that's our job, and if you've been here for any length of time, Westlake Community Church, that's what we're all about. We're here to testify to spreading and to be anointed to spread the good news, amen? And this is a good news that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. It doesn't matter if we believe it or understand it or agree with it. It doesn't matter. Here's the fact. Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, and that's the only way we get out of this life in any kind of the way I have eternal life, and we make it to those verses this week. I don't know if we will or not. We'll get to them next week for sure. But eternal life only comes because of the fact that Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. In verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. As I was thinking about this and Father was speaking to me about this very familiar passage of Scripture and other scriptures that we're going to look at this morning, but this whole idea of confession, and it really hit me. I think a lot of times just when I confess something, I'm acknowledging something. That's a piece of it, but it goes far beyond that. It's more than just acknowledgement, because the demons acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God and doesn't do them any good. Is that not confession? No, that's just knowledge. They know that. That's a fact that they know. And people can know that Jesus is the Son of God, but unless we confess with our mouths, if we confess and say, you know what, this is, I'm confessing and I'm agreeing with that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but man, I want him to abide in my life. And it says here, if we confess that into that place, God abides in him and he in God. That place of abiding is so important. And we've talked about that a little bit last week, and I've talked about it in other times, but that's Jesus is the only solution to this way of life. We can't abide outside of Jesus Christ. We can't abide without this confession of like, yes, I know who you are. And it seems like, well, it seems like such an obvious statement. But how many people think they have had that kind of relationship and they have no idea who God is? Because they haven't come to that place of true confession. And it's like, well, what does that look like? And I mean, when your life changes and you're wanting to have that walk with God and you're wanting to have that like every single day rejuvenation of the mind, that tells me I'm a good standing with Father. Because I'm embodying that really sweet, tight place with him. There's lots of scripture we could look at talking about confession, but if you would turn over your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Every time I get into Romans, just even bits and pieces like we're going to today, it's like, ooh, there's another study. It's like, 1 John's taking me long enough. It's only got 5 chapters. I'd be in Romans for decades. And then I read some of that, I'm like, I don't know how I would preach that. All right, there's so much in Romans. But anyway, here we go. Romans chapter 10, starting verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Man, is it our heart's desire and prayer to God that people are saved? I mean, if I ask most of you that, you always say yes. We that's our prayer, that's our desire. But how does that play out in your life? How often are we on our knees praying for the people that we know that are not saved? Those people that have obviously rejected God. How much time are we putting in to pray for them? I remember as a young child, my mom and dad had a friend that wasn't saved, and I was like 5 or 6 at the time, but I just remember praying for, I don't even remember his name now, which is really bad, but I remember praying for this gentleman every single night. I don't know if he ever got saved. That wasn't the point. The point was the discipline of specifically by name praying for this man every single day. Whether he ever gave his life to Christ is, I don't even know. I'll never know the side of heaven potentially. But that, as a child, that was what was, you know, kind of, it was a routine for me to start with. But then, like I said, this is, you know, many years later, I'm remembering that, right? That I remember pouring into that, and I know that others have prayed over my life as, for sure. But he says, I bear witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Ooh. Having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And again, I have to be careful because you hear me say, I have no problem with education, but sometimes education gets in the way. Some people pursue an education. Pastors pursue having a master's degree, a doctor's degree, a degree in all these theological, you know, all these, you know, they have 14 letters after their name. I have no problem with that. As long as they can take all that education and come to a 7-year-old and concisely put together and talk to somebody without all of these and now fours and all the highfalutin speak, which is not a bad thing if that's what you are into. But I was reminded by someone, because there are days that I go through that the enemy attacks me with, like, why are you in front of people speaking God's word? You don't have a degree. You have an associate's degree and nothing that has to do with church. Right? And I had a friend of mine remind me this week, and I wasn't in a bad place this week, it just kind of came up in conversation. He's like, yeah, did Jesus have an education? Did he have a degree? Did he have a doctorate? No. And then people go, well, but he was the Son of God, so he didn't need a degree. Again, please hear me say, I'm not knocking education. But if it be, is our zeal for this relationship with God, or is our zeal about knowledge about him that somebody else is teaching us? Or that we're reading out of a book? Again, I'm not anti-books or anti-anything else outside the Word of God, as long as it lines up with the Word of God, by the way. But where's our zeal? Is it for God himself, or is it about knowledge about him? I'd rather have a relationship than knowledge about him. Because, I mean, you think you go back to the children of Israel. This is, to me, there's lots of sad things that I see when people interact with God or don't interact with God. But their choice to send Moses up the mountain, I don't think that was God's design. I think he wanted them all to come up the mountain. But he said, no, you go talk to him. Then come back and tell us what he said. All right, knowledge. For being ignorant, verse 3, for being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And again, it's where that this knowledge, this chasing knowledge, just kind of comes into. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not to submit to God's righteousness. And again, hopefully you here understand, I'm not knocking education, but when we get so educated, we think that what we know circumvents who God is, there's a problem. When I think I get to the point where I can determine, even though I've read a particular scripture over and over, and I think I know what it means, if I'm not in this moment like I am right now, understand, okay, Father, what do you want me to hear from you today about what you want to say to your people out of your word? If I'm not in that place every single time I speak, whether it's up here or anywhere else, then I'm submitting my own stuff and trying to establish my own thoughts and my own ideas, and that has no value whatsoever. My ideas and understanding is pretty much worthless. I'm not saying it doesn't have to be a bad thing, but if it's not God's, it's worthless. It's not life-giving. It's not eternal. Verse 5, for Moses writes about righteousness, thus based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteous, where am I at? Turn the page. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are those who preach the good news. So this idea of this, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And I think too often we make it too complicated. It's that simple. Right? And again, not to be flippant about it, but it's that simple. But this place of confession, are we in this place of, like, because there was a lot of you've heard my testimony as a young person. I had this misunderstanding of what this looked like, and every time I messed up, I kept giving my life to Christ. And God was like, dude, I can't make you more my kid, right? I got you, right? But it was this understanding. I finally got solidified in this one point in time. And so, yes, there's still confession that needs to happen from time to time, but it's not about salvation. It's about like connection with Father and making sure those things that have gotten in between me and him are confessed and dealt with. But this piece here is like, confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that he raised him from the dead. I will be saved. Don't have to worry about that anymore. And again, it's not this place of like, I can go out and do what I want to now. I can go out and live a life that doesn't look any different than the world. No. Because we're told that we judge each other by our fruit, right? It's okay to do that. So if you call yourself a Christian and you're not living in any way that lines up with the Word of God, I'm going to be judging you a little bit. I'm going to be like, I don't know about that. Tell me about your moment in time when you came to Christ. What does that look like? And maybe you are and you just don't understand like I did as a young person. But let's solidify this thing. Because your life should look different. Because you're operating like we talked about last week. You're operating this place of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's not going to want you to do that. He's not going to lead you to that place. He's going to lead you to a different place of where you can operate in this place of life and blessing. And being part of what the last part of what we just read here, being part of telling those people that have no idea about who God is. And we all, and I know a lot of you, because I did this when I was a child and a younger person, and especially when I was running from God, you know, they were like, where was it? Talking about preachers. And how will they hear without someone preaching? How are they to preach unless they are sent? Woohoo, preach, preach. I'm not a preacher, so I don't have to do that. No, because the word also tells us we are all what, ministers? So you're all a preacher. You don't have to be licensed or ordained to do it. God says you're a preacher. And you're going to be preaching to people I will never come in contact with. And that's a good thing. Right? And I love how this one last verse we read there, and as written, how beautiful are the feet who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet for those who preach good news. And again, you've heard me, if you've been here long enough, I pray that when you read this, because this is a quote, how many of you go back and find out where that quote came from? Do you guys do that when you're reading through Scripture? You see a quote and you're just like, as it is written, where was it written? Anybody know where that was written? Oh, there you go. There's the scholar right there. Isaiah 52. We're going to go back a couple of verses from 52:7. It's, and again, I've said to you for a lot of years that I've been speaking, go back and read things contextually. It's important because, like, if we just go back and read a verse, it's not necessarily taken out of context. But when you read the whole, even a whole chapter or verses before it and behind it, it adds so much to what's going on in the text. And so, you know, again, we're talking about this place of being preachers. We're talking about this place of getting to this place where people can confess and have this new life in Christ. And we are in Isaiah chapter 52, and we're just going to start in verse 1. Awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come unto you the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Syrians oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all day my name is despised. That sounds a little familiar. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, they shall know that it is I who speak. Here am I. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace and brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. the voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem, and the Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. You shall not go out in haste. You shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. Whew. Think people need to hear that? And how are they going to hear that unless we don't go out and talk to them about that? We may rephrase this a little differently, but here's the thing. So now, I love giving you guys responsibility, because now once you heard, you're responsible, right? So now you guys are preachers. Now you guys are watchmen. And I love watchmen, what do? They lift up their voice together. They sing for joy. They see eye to eye. Now that doesn't mean they always agree, but they agree on what's important. They agree on, like, man, we're going to showcase who God is here. They break forth together in singing, and this they tell people about that God has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. He has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations. I mean, I picture all kinds of things when I read that scripture. I think his arm's getting bared pretty hard right now. What's that going to look like? I mean, when we work, we roll up our sleeves, right? So we have more freedom of movement on our arms when we're doing work. When those of us a little older now, when we were younger, we liked to bare our arms to show off to the girls, right? God's not showing off. He's like, look, I'm rolling up my arms, so I have lots of freedom of movement to take care of things I need to take care of. But one of the things I love about this whole thing, it says you should not go out in haste. We don't have to be freaked out about nothing. And all things that are going on right now, that's like, I don't know how many times in conversations I've had this last week, we talked about all the things that are going on. It's like at the end of the day, our conversation keeps going back to the point of, like, it doesn't matter. We know who's in charge. They can try to do all the things they want to do. They can try to put all the laws. They can even accomplish some of those things. But at the end of the day, we know who's in charge. We know who wins. And I love that it says, we don't have to go out in haste. You shall not go out in flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. You're totally surrounded and protected. And God's split somehow. I don't know how that works, but it works for him. He's in front of you, and he's your rear guard. You're totally protected. You don't have to hurry about nothing. People can try to hurry you and freak you out and make you all messed up. But here we keep coming back to this place. And again, confession isn't, in my mind, isn't always just about confessing sin either. Confession is declaration. It's like, man, I'm going to confess that God is before me and he's my rear guard. Right? And how many of us, even in this room today, need to be reminded of that and hear that this morning? Because, you know, we get wound up, if some of you that like to wade through all the political garbage, mercy on you. I don't like to do that. But we need to continue. If that's fun for you, awesome. But hopefully you understand who you are. Hopefully you understand, like, look, all this chaos and craziness that I like to wade into, at the end of the day, God's before me and God's my rear guard and I'm totally protected. And they can get all wound up if they want to. But here's the thing. How many people in our world today have no idea who this is, what this is like to live in this place? They're living in panic, and they're living in fear, and they're living in uncertainty, and they're believing that they have to rely on the government to save them. Oh, Lord. What a terrifying thought. Because they're doing such a good job. I'm not even talking about the current one. I'm just talking about across the board. That's never the job. That's never the governmental's job to take care of us. That's God's job to take care of us. It's our job to ask Father, like, okay, Father, I'm having some struggles here, whatever it is, and it's his job to provide because he says that's who he is. And we either believe that or we don't. But if, again, if we haven't come back to like this first place in 1 John, if we haven't come to back to this place of confession and believing that Jesus Christ is Lord, it doesn't matter. We won't ever get to that place of security and safety if we don't believe that he is the Son of God. We won't believe that God can abide in us and that God will abide in us and give us his Holy Spirit to continue to remind us and teach us about all these things. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. So here's my question to you this morning. Believe it or not, I'm going to stop on time. What kind of news are you proclaiming out there today to the people around you? Even again, like I said, even if we get involved in those political conversations or the conversations about things that are going on in the world right now, how are we showcasing God? How are we in those moments interjecting good news that there is someone that is in control? And for some people, it'll be like blow their mind. Like, what do you mean it's not our president or our government or our military or all those things, right? They're the ones that are in charge. No, well, they are because God has allowed them to be. He's put them in place. He's put them in power. And again, that doesn't negate our responsibility to vote and go out and do those kinds of things. But I'm saying at the end of the day, when we're having conversations with people, how are we showcasing God? How are we infusing the conversation with good news? How are we infusing that conversation with a reminder to even each other, those of us who have been walking with God a long time, how are we building up each other in love and good works and those things? Because I dare say if we're not, then we're missing out on some pretty amazing moments. We're missing out on like, okay, you know, we may walk into a conversation not even anticipating it being a conversation of encouragement. But I have found time and time again, I don't know if there's any conversation where we shouldn't be anticipating that and looking for it. And it can just seem like a normal conversation, and you have the person that you're having the conversation with later come back and tell you, and like, man, that really meant a lot to me, and you really helped me out with where my thought process was, and it's like, it's just a basic conversation. Or God leads you down to these really intimate conversations, and those are amazing things. But how many of those conversations are we having? How many of those conversations are we having just between husband and wife? Are we even have a relationship at that level where we're confessing our sins one to another? If we can't do it there, we're not going to do it with, well, it might be easier with somebody else than our wife, but or our husband sometimes. But regardless, if we need to start there. And I dare say it will change your relationship. And then if we can get to the point where we're going outside of that, we're getting able to be in smaller or even larger groups. Because that confessor sins one to another, and as far as I understand and remember, the scripture doesn't say it's in always small settings. There's no determination there. Now, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't necessarily like to stand up here before you tomorrow this morning and confess all my sins to you. But I should be at that level. Right? Because what would happen? One, you see who your preacher is, and hopefully I've been as transparent as possible, sometimes painfully so. But if we're all living in that place of that kind of transparency and that kind of confession, what do you think will happen? There goes pride. There goes selfishness. There goes all the things that we get accused of from the outside, the churches like. But if they see a church and a group of believers that are like confessing and really live transparent lives, they may not like it, but they got nothing to say against it. Because they're not sweeping things under the rug. They're not making concessions for their actions and the things that they say. They're not taking responsibility. And that's some of the conversations I've had this last week with people and some of these situations I'm walking into. That's the heart of most of it. It's like we don't want to take responsibility for the thing I messed up with. Instead of humbling yourself and going, like, I really screwed that up. How can I restore that? Because that's what it's all about, right? Is it not restoration? If that's not our heart, like conversation I had with my mom and dad last night, the heart has to be, it's not about a popularity contest, it's about restoration. That's kind of weird talking to my parents who've been doing life and ministry for a lot longer than I have. And don't get me wrong, it's a good thing borders between here and Canada are closed. I think Devon and I would have been on a car a couple weeks ago. It may not have been good. It had been fun, but it would not have been good. But, you know, just this outside view. But again, sometimes we need that outside view because we get done down in the mire and the grip of the muck of this stuff. And we forget just the few things we looked at this morning. And we think that we're just like, we don't have any power, and we don't have any resources, and we don't have anything to draw from when we have the source of everything. Our source is everything. Our source, the power in our life, spoke the world into existence. I love that. I'll never get over that. I'll never get over the fact that he still holds all things together with the sound of his voice. That's what we have to draw on. But we act like we have a battery that's going to run out in 2 minutes when we play with it too long, right? That's the news we need to be telling people. It's not a new message. But here's the thing, even though it's not a new message, it's relevant no matter what era, age, time of life, whatever it is, it still applies. And that's what I love about it. I don't have to learn something new about who God is as far as like the foundational things. I'm learning new things about God all the time. But it's not because he's changed, it's because I'm changing. Or I better be changing. I will be changing one way or the other. I don't believe we're stagnant. We're either going one direction or the other. And I'd rather be moving into a place where my mind is being renewed every single day. And I'm stepping into his new mercies every single day. I'm stepping into that place of having beautiful feet. I hate feet. But having beautiful feet in the sense of preparing, you know, and showcasing who God is and how I speak and how I live my life. That's on all of us. That's on all of us. And it really continues to tie into last week. Is in doing that and coming from that heart and coming from that place of intensity allows us to minister on the level that I believe God wants us to minister on in this place here at Wausau Community Church. I still want it to be, and I still believe it will be, in however many more years, months we have. I want this to be a lighthouse that people can go, yeah, go there. Because you're going to get the light shine on your life through the power of the living God. You may not like it, but light is going to be shined. They're not going to sugarcoat it. They're going to love you. They're going to share their lives transparently with you. They're going to get in the muck with you. But not to the point where they're getting mired down with you. When you get in a hole, they won't jump down the hole with you. They'll throw you a rope. I've learned that lesson over the years. Don't keep coming down the hole with me. Help me out. Right. Now we're both in the hole. Now it's like, oh. Trying to boost somebody out of the hole is a lot harder than hauling somebody with a rope, right? Or throwing a ladder down or whatever other analogy you want to use. Because I know for me, oh, I'm just being compassionate. I'm getting right there with them. It's like, no, there's a way to do that. But again, I think too often I can't look like I'm in a better place than this person because I think I'm better than them. No, it's not about that. They need to see a better, need something different. It's like, oh, there is life. You can have a good marriage. It's possible. You can actually have a man and a woman that actually love each other even after a long period of time and still have a good time and drive their kids nuts. That's possible. Right? Right, thank you. Let me be quiet. I'm going to go. Stuff's going to end on time. But not just marriages, but just relationship in general. The world needs to see Christians living these radically transformed, empowered lives. We keep talking about it, but talk is cheap. If our lives don't look any different, what do we have to testify about? And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I was talking to somebody recently about this too. It's like, you know, and where I've gotten bogged down when you're praying for something and you know God's a healer, especially it seems like health is a big thing, right? And it's like, how can you say you're praying to a God that heals, but you've been praying for your family or whatever for healing, and you've been praying for decades and it's not happening. Your God's not a healer. Oh, yeah, he is. Because he's moving in a way that I'm not seeing. Trust me, I have my own ideas of how I want it to go down. So whether it's physical healing or restoration of relationships or whatever it is, God has his time, and our job is to remain faithful and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And I had that conversation with somebody recently too. It's like, oh, God, I just feel like a nag. Well, until Father tells me to stop praying about that, I'm going to keep talking to him about it. Trust me, he knows more than you're praying about. He knows the situation. He's got it. It's not about that he needs to be reminded. It's about relationship. It's about, like, keep coming talking to me. No, keep coming and talk to me. I want to hang out with you. And this is how we get to do it. Don't get frustrated. I got this all taken care of. It's already done. You just haven't got there yet. I'm way down here in time, and you're just trying to catch up. And I've seen that over and over and over and over and over in my life. And those are the things that we need to bring these people, whether it's other believers who are mired down in that thought process. Like, it doesn't, I know this is what the word says, but it seems contradictory to what I'm living. Right, it's because our thought process isn't lined up with God's. The biggest thing I could talk about that was that conversation I had with a young man last Saturday. I asked him if he ever wanted to have a relationship or have, like, a be married and have kids, and he's like, "Oh no, I just keep chasing them," and they're just no. Well, he had lots of issues, but anyway. but we were talking about this point of once you finally go, okay, you know what? I'm just gonna not give up, but just, like, stop doing that. That's what usually happens, right? Like, I have to be careful. I was kind of in that spot, like I was all about, like, wanting to be married and girls and that kind of thing, and then I was like, you know what? Fine, I'm just done. And here comes the water. I'm like, oh, fine. Right? It's like you stop pursuing. It's not necessarily pursuit is a bad thing, but it's like when we change our focus to something else, then God can, like, oh, finally, got out of the way so I can do what I want to do. Right? Now, that's a silly little, about relationship, but just like those are all those kinds of things. If I'm in this place of where am I with God? Is this where God would have me be? Am I in this place of confession? Is my life lining up with how Father would ask me to live it? Am I in this place of understanding that, man, I walk around with more power than I know what to do with? And that reality recently for me is like, man, I'm still chasing some of those things that Scripture talks about. And I know most of it, I know all of it, it's just because I'm not understanding it right. But I still love that scripture where Jesus says, "Then greater things you'll do than I did." I'm still, like, wanting to do the things he did, right? So obviously I'm missing out somewhere, right? I'm missing some of this somewhere. But that's the thing. It's like, man, I see the impact Jesus had in his ministry here, and it was a short period of time. I've done ministry longer than Jesus has. I'm not saying he wasn't doing ministry before those 2 or 3 years, but I'm just saying, as far as, like, just ministry to ministry, but man, what kind of impact did he have? And people can go, well, yeah, but he was the Son of God. Okay. But who do I have living inside of me? All right. What's the difference? And I have to be careful that I don't tell. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying we have no excuse. And so for me, it keeps coming back down to, where am I in my walk? Where am I in my relationship? Where am I in the things that he's asking me to do? So this morning, as we go into our prayer time, One, is there things that you need to confess? And I'm not going to open it up, you know, after we're done praying to, you know, necessarily a big confession time. But maybe it's just time for you to come up to this platform and get on your knees and confess something to God. Maybe that's what's needed for you. And so for some people, they just need, they need the reminder about, like, again, it seems like this reminder is happening a lot, but just like, who are we in Christ? Are we living this, in this place of transformation? Are we living in this place of being willing to spread and share the good news and not just leave it up to the preacher guy? Father's always really good about when we're honest enough to ask him what he wants to talk to us about. He'll tell you. Because that's where I found myself wasting a lot of time talking about things he doesn't want to talk about. Not that that's necessarily, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but like he's like, okay, I'll talk about that, but I really want to talk about this. And if we can talk about this, you'll see a lot of movement in the things that you think you want to talk about over here. So in the next few moments, just ask Father what he would want to talk to you about. If some people want to come forward and pray here for the platform, that's awesome. That's always open. But anyway, so let's just go into our prayer time. Father, just continue as we just wrap up this morning. Father, you know the relationship you and I have even better than I do. But Father, I've seen and experienced the strongholds destroyed in my life because of confession, because of relationship with you, because of allowing people into my life to speak as bluntly as possible into my life, to show things in my life that are not lining up with who you are, with not lining up with who you created me to be, that are not lining up with your word. And Father, every single day, I don't want my life to, I want it to line up more with who you are and what your word says about who I am than not. I want my life and I want the life of your children here in this room and around the world this morning, Father, to be a testimony of who you are. The world has always needed us to see your bride be something different. But oh, how much more now? There's been dark days before. I understand that. But Father, I pray that you would just continue to bring revival to our own hearts. Revive us again. And again. And again and again. I don't want to be the same I was yesterday. I don't want to be the same I was 10 minutes ago. I want to be different every single moment that I walk this earth. I want to leave this earth, whatever that looks like, whatever my time is done, however it is in that moment you call me home. I want my life to be poured out. In this place, nothing left. I don't want to have extra when I get home. I want to have it all done out. And I understand I'll never come to the end of what you'll give me. I get that, Father. But I'm just saying, I don't want to miss out on the things that you've asked me to do, called me to go, to be, and having those conversations with the people you've called me to have them with. Again, Father, I was reminded in a loving way. It wasn't from any place of condemnation this week, Father. But again, you reminded me of a moment of time when I missed it. I missed that moment. That was so glaringly obvious. This person was wanting love, was wanting someone to see her, was wanting someone to talk to her. And here's two preacher boys sitting in an airport, and we missed it. I don't want to miss it ever again. And Father, there was a long time I felt condemnation about that. And I just, ever since that moment, I've prayed every time that moment has come to my mind that she ran into someone who got it. And you had another son or daughter minister to her in a way that we were supposed to. And if I'm not in step with you, if I'm not in that place of constantly, okay, Father, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to hear? What do you want me to say? If I'm not in that constant tension of living there, I'll miss it. And I want to have beautiful feet because I've been spreading the good news that people's lives can be radically transformed. They don't have to live under the bondage of chains. They don't have to live under the bondage of these strongholds. They don't have to live under any of this stuff that the world, that the enemy puts on them. They can live victorious lives. And we've made those words, victorious life, a bumper sticker on a t-shirt. It has all kinds of power, and we've cheapened it sometimes. We can't let the familiarity and the things that are familiar to us, and scripture that is familiar because we haven't memorized it, we've read it countless times. We can't let it lose its power every single time we read it, because it is a living word of God. It's your living word. And it has power. It doesn't return void. My words return void all the time. But I want to speak your words, Father. May we all have zeal for you. Passion, just driving, consuming everything we think about. That we may live lives that are glorifying to you. I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed.